So I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 39. Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 39. And we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I desire to go from there to the very last of that chapter, and it is about a cure for lifeless religion. The cure for lifeless religion. And it is, I'm sure you know, this is very common nowadays. Everyone is religious virtually in this country, and yet there is such lack of spiritual life. One of the beautiful things about John's Gospel, and I would really encourage you to read that with that in mind, and you would see that many times, is how John seeks to correct wrong ideas about, for example, belief and knowing the Lord and loving God and things like this. He challenges it. In fact, he shows us a number of times where the Lord Jesus Christ met the religious big men of the times, and the Lord Jesus Christ challenged their claims. They will claim that we are like this, and the Lord Jesus will say, no, you are not. If you were, this would happen. And John does that a number of times. And it's important to take notice, because people think, if people just make claims and they make it warmly and they make it passionately, then it means they truly believe it. John says, not necessarily, unless something is seen, unless it leads to something. Otherwise, it may only be a shallow and an empty claim. And my dear friend, I think it's helpful for us, really, to be thinking of this, because it will help you, each one of us. Most likely, if you've been coming here, we assume that at the very minimum, you are a religious person. But you must not just be a religious person, you must know spiritual life and what it is to relate to God, and to prove Him as your own God, and to live as it were under His eyes, and to know His fear, and to know that deep respect for Him, and such a priority He has in the heart. Oh friends, that is what it means to have spiritual life, and the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses will open that up very clearly. Now, let me start with where the Lord starts exactly here, because it's an excellent, a wonderful, wonderful statement of the Lord here. Look at verse 39, search the scriptures. By the way, you know that search the scriptures, you can also have translated, ye search the scriptures. That means talking about what they do. Now, it amounts to the same thing. You search the scriptures, or go ahead and search it. It amounts to the same thing, but this is the point. Search the scriptures, or ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Lord Jesus Christ begins with a commendable thing with these Jews. Something good they do. And that thing is, they search the scriptures. Especially the Pharisees that the Lord was speaking to. They will read the scriptures, and they will read it again and again. In fact, if you want a kind of a debate over just the information that the scripture gives, well, you don't have to go and try the Pharisee. They will beat you. They will really outdo you, because they knew the scriptures. But the Lord Jesus Christ will point to them where their problem is. And in fact, actually charge them that even though they read the scriptures and they seem to love it, yet they don't have spiritual life. Isn't that astonishing? Isn't that surprising? Should we all not be concerned? They seem to love the word. They seem to be reading it always. In fact, to some point, they're reading it with the right expectation. They are better than the charismatics who read the Bible, and they are looking for how to get money and how to increase their possession. Now, the Pharisees were far better than that. But just look at it. Search the scriptures, or ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. You expect that as you read the scripture, you will discover the way of eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ, by implication, is saying you are right to do that.
to read the scripture and want to find eternal life here. They were not looking for money. They were not looking for possessions like the charismatics do. As I've mentioned, they had it right. If I go to the Bible, what I'm going to look for is how I may have eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is pushing the matter further. The verse again. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The Lord Jesus Christ is beginning to expose their problem. The scripture speak about me. If you've been reading it right, you would have seen the Messiah. You would have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have seen that I am the one who has come. But you don't see it. And the Lord Jesus Christ will tell them why. Oh, my dear friends, this is why we are so concerned this morning. And as I said at the beginning, can somebody be a lover of the scriptures and read it? You know, I have some family members who they will be reading the Bible. They read it regularly, it seems to me. And they will sometimes even call on the phone and say, we have read this passage and this, but what does that mean? And when they try to say something about the passage, they always get it wrong anyway. But they'll be asking, what does this mean? Oh, but I know them. Even though they're doing morning devotions every time, I knew they were not converted. They did not know the Lord. But that's the tricky part of the issue. Somebody who is regularly reading the Bible, like the Pharisees, exactly. And yet, they do not know the Lord. They do not have spiritual life. Now, how can that happen? What is the problem? The Lord Jesus Christ now will put his fingers on them. He will mention four problems with them. In fact, all of them come up to one issue, but he exposes them one by one so that he may drive their attention. My dear friends, my concern this morning is this, is to challenge you to realize becoming a Christian doesn't begin with practices. Bear that in mind. It doesn't begin with practices. Oh, nowadays, I think I go to church. I think I read the Bible. I think I try to pray. I think I do that. Becoming a Christian doesn't start. The practices will come. The practices will be done. But it doesn't start with that. It has to start with the work of God directly in the soul. It has to start with something God himself does in the soul. If it is not there, the practices will be nothing. They will be pointless. And they would even sometimes prove unprofitable. But the Lord Jesus Christ points it out. Why? What was the problem of these Jews? The Lord Jesus tells them. Problem number one. Verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You read the scriptures and it tells you about me. But you will not come. You will not personally come to seek mercy and forgiveness. You will not personally come to me and seek that I deal with you and bless you. And then the Lord Jesus Christ shows them this is the problem. Friends, this is the problem with many also. Have you personally gone to the Lord? Have you personally gone to him with your case, with your situation, with your sins? Have you personally said, I am a sinner. I need to go to the Lord who died on the cross of Calvary to purchase forgiveness of sins. I want to personally go to him. You may fill your head with information. Unless it drives you to go to him, they will amount to nothing. The purpose of that information is to drive you to him and to bring you to seek him personally. Have you personally gone to him? If you haven't done that, the question is why? Why have you not personally gone to him and asked him about your situation and laid your sins and your condition before him and asked him to bless you and to have mercy upon you? Why have you not done that? This is the problem number one. Verse 40 there again, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And verse 41, I receive not honor from me. In other words, the Lord is saying, I am not asking you to come to me as if I wanted honor from you. You must come because that's the way to life. That's the way to spiritual life. It's not because if you come, you do me some honor, and I'm thirsty for that. That's not the case. The issue is this: you have to do that. In order to come to spiritual life, we have to personally go to Him, my dear friends, and tell Him what we've done. Tell Him our sins. You cannot tell Him everything. They are too much. But tell Him everything you know. And then ask Him to have mercy upon you. Put your trust in what He did on Calvary. Ask Him to change you. Ask Him to deal kindly and wash you and make you a new person. Go to Him personally, friends. That is what you should do to come into spiritual life. It's problem number two. The Lord speaks so pointedly to these persons. It must have been uncomfortable to them, but it's very helpful. He's telling them why they've been reading the scriptures and engaged in other spiritual religious activities, and yet there's no profit in them. Number one, they've not personally sought the Lord. Now, the second one, look at verse 42. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. This is quite, I think this would have made them very restless. The Lord Jesus Christ looking at them and saying, I know you. I know everything about you. And this is what I know about you. You don't love God. You are religious. You're always in the synagogues. You're always reading the scriptures. But you don't have the love of God in you. What is the love of God? It is that desire or inclination. It is that attitude of always wanting to put God first. What He has said, what He wants you to do, that's what it means to love Him. It is the attitude of always saying, I must never displease Him. I must never dishonor Him. I must never disobey Him. But you don't have that love in you. The Lord Jesus Christ charges them. You don't. How does this love come? We cannot work it into ourselves. It has to be put into us. Remember what the Bible says? We love Him because He first loved us. We must have a taste of His love before we can love Him. His love must work in our hearts first. And the way we are amazed and we are moved by the wonder of it, then we want to return love to Him. We will never love God until we have felt His own love for us. As in other words, the Savior is telling them, you have never felt the love of the Father. You've never come to the point where you know that He's dealing with you and He's blessing you. Friends, we know the love of Christ. We know the love of the Father when we come to trust the Savior. Where did God manifest His greatest love? On the cross of Calvary, wasn't it? When the Savior came and died for us. When the Savior came as a representative for sinners to bear the penalty for sin for needy sinners. When we have come and are seeing what the Savior did, we come with our sins, as I said, and we see that for my sins to be taken away, this is the cost. The Savior had to die in order for my sins to be taken away. Then I'm affected and I'm moved to wonder, will the Lord do this for me? You know that song we sing, that song we often sing, dying for me, who caused His pain, isn't it? And we are moved. This is where we begin to be amazed at Him and admire Him. Is there the love of God in you? Love, it doesn't start with a feeling. Love is not first a feeling. It's first an attitude. It's a principle. It's a character. It's a virtue. Love doesn't begin with a feeling. The feeling may come later, but it starts with an attitude, a character that says, I must never disobey God. I must never live as if I'm my own master, driving my life, taking my decisions on my own, and never considering Him or His mind, His will, and things like this. He that loves Him
wants to pay this kind of respect to him. And so friends, can I ask you? In effect, I'm asking you the same question, but as the Lord did, he's asking from another angle. Do you have the love of God in you? Have you felt a debt to him? Have you felt a debt to the sense that I must obey this Lord and I must never turn my back on him? Have you feared to sin against him? Have you grieved that you've ever sinned against him? Have you been cast down? And that's the product of love. Have you been cast down as you see how you've lived and been so sad and desire that he would wash you and make you new? His love has to be wept into your soul. You cannot create it yourself. That's the love of God in you, my dear friends. It comes by conversion. The day you go to the Lord and trust him and he changes you, he will put his love in your heart and you will truly love him. Look at that again. The Lord touches on the third problem. And the third problem is in verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. This is again very surprising. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying this. Well, I have come, and there's all the evidences that have been sent from the Father. If we're to examine my work, you will realize that you cannot attribute them to mere human power. And this must tell you that I've come from my Father. I've been sent to you. But the strange thing with you is this. Even though I've been sent to you and the evidences are there, you will not believe me. You will not listen to me. But someone else will come. He will come and you will believe him. You know that in the history of the people of Israel, they've been always expecting the Messiah. We are told that they've already had about 64 messiahs. They come, they disappoint them, and they're expecting again. As we speak now, the Orthodox Jews, apart from the secular ones don't really care about any of these things, but the Orthodox Jews are still looking out for the Messiah, that he will come. And the Lord Jesus Christ predicted it, that if anybody came and called himself the Messiah, you will receive him. They were, friends. This is something true with us all. We are all like the teenager who would rather believe his peers than his parents. We all have a bit of that in us. Because you see, and it's kind of sad in fact, but we strangely are suspicious of God. We strangely don't think his ways are that wonderful. We will listen to people instead of him. Friend, don't you find that in your own heart? You would rather listen to anybody than listen to the Bible. You'd rather ask questions and seek answers from anywhere else. You wouldn't want to be told from the Bible. This is quite strange. You only have to get somebody who is very popular and who is very vocal and articulate. Somebody who can speak. In society, if you would observe, in society, it is said that usually, if people want to get a following, they have to go all on their way and be bold and speak big. You have to go and brag and talk about big things of yourself. And if you do that, well, some people will have confidence in you. But if you go and speak so humbly and things like that, well, people are likely not to believe you that much. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ came speaking as the God who has authority, but even the people will not believe him. The Lord's point is this: you will not believe me. If someone else came, you will believe him. Let me tell you how it applies to us. You know, you will find somebody who reads the Bible, as the Lord started, but the Bible has no power over him. He will hear something else, seek to solve his problems by some other means, but never from the Bible. This is always surprising, but that's us. Eva, how many people
are interested in finding solutions from the social media. And it was surprising how people can throw away their lives. He has a problem and he's going to the social media. And then try. Well, nowadays, with the help of Google, you simply put in a question, isn't it? And all kinds of answers come. And the question is, which answer do you choose? Well, you choose according to your taste. And it gives you confidence because you don't feel alone. After all, there are other people thinking the same way, and so you like it. Is that the way you want to run your life? Oh, my dear friends. I remember a man was warning that it depends on where the source is coming from. Have you tried some of these various remedies for various ailments? I've not tried it myself. I don't think I have the time for that. But some of my young persons have tried it. Were telling me, just put the information, say, oh, anything about arthritis or anything about headaches. And all this information pours on you. And you have all these things people are telling you about, or what to do with headache and things like that. Well, some of them seem to try it and they say it works for them, okay. But see, you have all this amount of information coming to them, and they have to be the masters doing the selection. And no, people want life that way. So this is one of the reasons why some people don't like Christianity. They say Christianity is authoritative. It has to say this, and that's all. I'm sorry to bore you with this. I don't know why, but I think I was reading through the news, and then I saw, I think, a married couple, and then the woman was saying that I and my husband, we don't feel like married. Actually, that was a heading. It was attractive, isn't it? We are married, but we don't feel like married. So I decided to read what is there. And the woman is saying, well, we still live like boyfriend and girlfriend. It still feels the same way like boyfriend and girlfriend. Now, what surprised me is that they were offering that as a kind of a wonderful thing. But they didn't know that it's actually a shame. It means that when they were boyfriend and girlfriend, they were living as if they were married, and so when they were married, there was no difference. Isn't that what it means? But they were touting it as a kind of a wonderful thing for people to probably read it and maybe go the same line or something like that. But my dear friends, the problem is people would rather listen to anything. And sometimes, as I sorry. And as I said, sometimes they will select some of them which are very suitable for them, and they like it. Oh, friend, if you know how life is risky, you wouldn't do that. If you really realize that life involves an eternal end, you wouldn't do that. You would want somebody who has been on that road before. If life will end before the face of Almighty God, and everybody has a judgment to give, you wouldn't throw away your life on social media and let people pour in mere opinions for you. Oh, dear friend, you only have to take your life seriously and regard life as sacred, a life that must be, that one day you must give an account about. And you be so careful to throw it down like that for people to merely suggest all manner of things to you. But friends, I say that again, until you are converted, this is what the Lord Jesus meant, until you are converted, you will never cease from that. You will never, only conversion binds your conscience to the Bible alone. You may have all your opinions. The very moment we see what the Bible says, you say, it's enough. I have the answer here. That settles it all. You can create that in yourself. God has to do that. We call that, John himself in another of his book, he calls it an unction from above. You are given that grace so that you're able to discern what God is teaching you. And your conscience becomes a slave to it. I have read it in the Bible. God has told me. and that's enough for me. Oh friends, you will never have that. You will never taste that. And it's only given, I repeat myself, it's given at conversion, where everything really comes from Scripture. Friends, my time is rushing on, but I'll come to my last one. Years ago, I was trying to encourage some young Christians. And they had finished the university. And I was trying to encourage them because, you know, this kind of thing is very, it's quite popular with Christians I have known elsewhere. And so I was trying to encourage them. You know what many Christians who really love the Lord have done? They go to school. They learn whatever course. And whatever principles that course is teaching them, they bring it to the touchstone of the Bible. If it seems to contradict the Bible, they say, we will take an independent view. We will begin with the Bible and think through that principle. Is it a principle in sociology? Is it in whatever psychology? We will begin with the Bible and think through it. You know why? You know why they do that? They are conscious as a slave to this Bible. They cannot bear any opinion that contradicts this book. Only conversion does that. There's no training ground anywhere. No amount of reading or studying will produce that. The Spirit of the Lord does that. He makes you a slave to this book, and whatever he says, you'd want to do. Friends, if that is not present, we say conversion hasn't occurred. Why? Because if the person claimed to be converted, you ask him, what will rule your life? What will govern your decisions? What will govern your plans? And if it is not the Scripture alone, then we say, who is your master? Who is your governor? Who is your Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ claims a sole place in the heart. He must have the sole place, and he exercises that sole place in your heart by his word. And so it is, my dear friends. So friends, you see, as the Pharisees were doing, they were reading the Bible. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ even told them in the latter verses that you are always reading Moses, and yet you don't even believe him. We are told that they are reading Moses every time. And that's one of the phrases that describes the Jews. They are always reading Moses. They are disciples of Moses. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you don't even believe his writings. Do you see that verse 47? I'm just jumping over. Look at verse 47. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Yeah, they were reading his words every time. Oh, my dear friends, we need such a power. Conversion is such a manifestation of the power of God to bring you, your heart and your conscience, to the rule of Scripture. And it is when I have come a needy sinner and cast myself upon the Savior and trusted him, then he works that work in my heart. Oh friends, this is so precious. I wish I can dwell there a little, but I have to go on because of my time. But look at verse 43. What the next one follows this quite straightforwardly. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. You will like people with their own opinions and speaking upon their own authority. You don't want me coming in my Father's name, speaking to you as from heaven. You don't like that. You like something else. And friends, look at verse 45. This is the last one. Do not think, I beg your pardon, 44 rather. How can ye believe? And the Lord Jesus, this is a strong word, isn't it? So the Lord is talking about something that hinders belief. As it's important to take notice, friends. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and not seek the honor that cometh from God only? This is, again, a challenge to the Pharisees, and it's a challenge to everyone. You know, if people want praise from others, if people want people to approve of them and applaud them, they will never repent genuinely. Whatever they will call repentance will always be superficial. Take up any lifestyle, friends. I'm sure you know. And I'm not encouraging you to do that. But as just an example. If you take up any lifestyle, wouldn't you find somebody to encourage you on that? Any lifestyle at all, wouldn't you find helpers? People who are just like you, living the same thing. And so if you want the praise of men, well, you will never feel the shame of what you are doing. And so you will never know genuine repentance. If you want the praise of men, if you want men to applaud you, Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, if I want to be a man pleaser, I cannot be a disciple of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says it. If anyone will not deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he is not worthy of me. And so, the Lord Jesus warns them, in fact, you may have the knowledge in your head, but you will not really believe. You will not really rest your hopes upon me. You will not really embrace me and depend upon me. If you want human praise, and so it is. Friends, it's a warning to us. It's the last problem the Lord touches on. If you become a child of God, you know, it is so amazing. Have I told you the story? Now that I shot it between the two places, I sometimes forget where I've said what. But anyway, I remember, then when I told you the story of that preacher that went to a certain household, and he went to preach to them, witness to them, and there was this young lady there who was well spoken of. She was serviceable. She was hardworking. She was loyal. She would steal nothing. Everybody had a high regard for this young lady. And evidently, they've been praising her. And she seemed to deserve it. And so, when this preacher had spoken, this young lady was bold enough to tell this preacher, I really don't think I'm that a sinner. Not many people will say that, isn't it? What happens normally is that people will say that I'm a sinner, but really, he has not felt it. He's only saying it with his lips. He's never felt shame. He's never been grieved. He's never been cast down by the sense of his sin. And so he only says it, that I am a sinner, I am unworthy, but really he's never been cast down. But this young lady was bold enough to say it. I don't think I'm that bad. And the preacher said, you know what, I will only ask you, dear, would you promise me to do this every morning? Every morning, however you can do it, you do it. Tell the Lord. In fact, it seems that a preacher said it because he could see that the young lady please forgive me that the young lady was being sincere. She was ignorant but sincere. And so he said that, would you every morning just pray, however you can do it, pray and say, oh Lord, show me who I am. And well, she said, okay sir, I will do it. And so this young lady said that. By the way, that is what we tell people. If people are having real difficulty seeing who they really are and coming to genuine repentance, that's what we tell them. If you sin, because sometimes it can be a very difficult hindrance, and so we tell you, ask the Lord, Lord, let me see who I really am. Because what is happening is I am too much drumming in all the good parts I think I have and really underestimating all the bad parts of me. And so though I say I'm a sinner, it doesn't really, I almost offset it with a sense that I'm a wonderful person. And so it's never deep. It's never deep. It's never real. It never brings about shame. It never brings about unease. Because I know I stand not right before God. This young lady did that. And then after a few weeks, the parents called the pastor and said, please, would you come over? Because the lady is weeping so much no one could comfort her. Would you come and speak to her? And the pastor came and said, lady, what's wrong with you? And then she said, I now know who I am. I realize how bad I am. I have discovered my heart. The kind of heart I have. Oh, I'm almost crossing myself out. I was reading the testimony of a person who applied for membership back in Cape Coast, and she said, I think I felt I was all right, but I had never taken into consideration heart sins, pride, self-confidence, trust in things, trust in my own head and in myself, anger, bitterness, hatred, all kept up there. With all the niceties portrayed outside, no one seeing what is inside. The lust, and that goes on burning. None of those things have been discovered. It is the one that the Lord Jesus Christ often showed the Pharisees and brought them to see their need. When they see the heart sense. Because friends, it is the heart sense that you don't only see it, but you also discover that you have no power of overcoming them. You are gripped by it. If I am fighting out there, probably I can look on the faces of some respectable persons and then not fight there again. But if it is in my heart, how do I deal with it? Unless the Lord, by this power. So the pastor came and told the young lady, would you now pray this also? That, oh Lord, let me see what the Savior had done for needy sinners. And I was there, the young lady found peace. She first saw herself and then what the Savior had done. Friends, I close with these words. When human praise surrounds us, it's so dangerous. Now, we may be nice persons, and I don't want to discourage that. You may be a nice person. And people thank you for so many things, which is good. But, oh, would you have the capacity to say, but who am I in my heart? What kind of desires rule me? What are my thoughts like? How do I think? How do I see myself in my own eyes? Who am I? Am I scoring myself so high? Then we have a problem. You will never come to God genuinely. You will never taste genuine repentance. You will never know what it is to be humbled before God and to come to seek mercy at the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ so warns the Pharisees, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Seek God's approval. See God's approval. It comes when He receives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I go to Him a needy sinner and trust in what He did on Calvary's cross, then when He receives me, I realize God has accepted me. I'm now a child of God. That's what we want. God receives me. In my closet, when I'm alone, God looks upon me and sees as a sinner. But somebody truly changed with new interests, with new thoughts, with new desires, with new attitudes, new longings, new ambitions that are all Godward because He's a changed person now. Oh, friends, then we would enter into spiritual life, friends. Otherwise, we would only have a lifeless religion, only activities. Only things we do around, which are good if we are doing them because we already know the Lord. They are very important, but we don't start with them. We start with coming to the Lord and God working in our hearts. I come as a sinner. I repent of my sins. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I came genuinely, He will work His love in my heart. You will love Him. His word will have such a power over my conscience and heart. You will live under the rule of the word. And you will like it. It will not be like a kind of a forced thing. You will like it and you would enjoy it. And my dear friends, if you have to come seeking God's approval, only God you want to please. If you please God, you would not care about anything else. If God changes you, that will become your motto. If God is pleased with me, what are men? What are men? And that will become the thing that drives your life. Oh friends, can I ask you to come to Him? I close with this. Have you heard this before? They say that doctors are some of the worst patients in the world. Have you heard that before? I think a certain doctor was saying this. Because they say that usually when they are admitted to the hospital, they imagine all the bad things. And so when a doctor is telling them, first of all, they also reason, because of course he's a doctor also, as they begin to reason and say that, I think that this can also be. So he has all the alternatives in his head. And so it takes him so long, sometimes they say, to even calm his mind down and to give himself to a regime of treatment. And so it makes them difficult to heal, it is said. In fact, there's one of the popular doctors that died some time ago in Cape Coast, a good gynecologist, who were told that when he had an illness and when they were taking him to the theater, he kept saying to himself, will I survive this? Will I survive this? He had taken hundreds to the theater a number of times. I don't know all the reasons, but I think I can guess one of them. You know why? When you and I go to them, they try to give us reassurances, isn't it? And they tell you, they try to calm you down. And so I'm sure if you try to calm a doctor down, he would tell himself, but I know there may be something else. Probably. And so he may not really take it that serious. I don't know whether that's the reason. I'm only guessing this out. But my friend, my point is this. Is it because they did not personally apply the very things to their own selves? Are they failing to apply and go and take in the things that would tell the rest of us? My closing words is this. My dear friends, we don't want you to just come here. We don't want you to just be a Bible reader and a church attender. You know, you can get involved in Christian activities. Friends, we have to tell you, you must apply first. You must personally go to the Savior. This is you and Him. It's not you and I. It's not you and the church. You and Him. Go to Him. Go personally. Go with your sins. Go telling Him. Go with shame. Go with a heart cast down. And you will come into trust in what He did on Calvary's cross. Do it, my dear friends. Otherwise, you can become the most ardent religious person, yet you will never possess spiritual life, because you will never know what it is to relate to God and to have God receive you and to have your conscience tied up to God, as it were, as your master, as your Lord, as your governor. God rules me and not myself. You will never taste that. You will always be a stranger to that. And then you never have spiritual life then. May that never happen to you. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we ask that Thou would help us, that we would desire to enter into spiritual life and to truly know Thee and love Thee and walk with Thee. Work in our souls this morning and bring us to come to Thee, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for sinners, that we may have life in our own souls. He must infuse life into us, otherwise we are dead forever. Oh, come Lord, and bless each one of us, for we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.